above all name, a sovereign cornerstone. We surrender to your will. We will never be the same. Emmanuel, you are here.
Jesus, we thank you today. We give you praise. What an awesome day. Great feeling. Father, we thank you for this past 14 days of prayer and fasting, for our 21 days of prayer. Lord, we thank you for vision. For vision gives us purpose. Vision demands, Father, passion and emotional response. We pray that, Lord, may we be passionate this year. May we do extraordinary work for the work of the ministry. May those that are in our company, Father, achieve great and awesome things. Father, may the goals that have failed for many years, may they see them coming to pass. Even today, Father, we pray for healing and restoration for your word. You sent your word to heal us and to restore us, to deliver us from our distractions. And Father, we pray that every man, woman who listen, Father, through the TV, through the internet, Father, through the podcasts, that, Lord, they will be edified and builded up, that their life will be a better life in the name of Jesus. Father, we commit this message into your hands. Holy Spirit, we pray, illuminate and make this more and bigger in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Last week, we spoke about Jesus, our compelling vision. And there are a few things we spoke about. It's very important that I go back there so that you are able to follow, because I believe today is very key to what we taught last week. That vision is the art of seeing the invisible, and that vision is very important. Jesus is the main vision of God and of the world. That God in his own infinite wisdom saw it fit that he should send Jesus as a soul. He didn't send Jesus to come and do great things, as maybe we might look at people who are doing quite a lot of social services, you know, like the church today. We are trying to feed people and all of that. Jesus, yes, did feed people, but that was not his main goal. His main goal was to restore man to himself, man to be restored back to God. So Jesus is the main vision that God has given humanity to be restored and to find themselves. So Jesus is bigger than life, and Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We spoke about a few points, and I'm just 6 points. One, we said vision demands passion and emotional response. Vision demands passion and emotional response. And we spoke about Jesus being our passion and our emotional response. Without Jesus being part of your life and you being attached to be emotionally attached to it, to have passion in life, you will not succeed. Most people, I gave an example about 10 last weights of great of dying men, 10 of great weights of great men when on their deathbeds, and they started to realize they put their passion on wrong things. And today I want to challenge you as we look back. Last week we spoke about it, that it's very important that our passion, Jesus becomes our passion and our response. Number two, we spoke about vision. We said vision provides motivation. Vision provides motivation. And we say Jesus is our motivation to live, to do all that we do in this life. If we want to achieve more, you want to go further, Jesus will take you far beyond your imagination. Jesus will take you far beyond your thinking. And if you allow Jesus to work in you, you will achieve even much more. And thirdly, we spoke about vision provides direction. Vision provides revelation for immediate direction, that when you come to Jesus, you will be directed. Sorry. You'll be directed and you'll be guided to do much more. And this is the same challenge that I want to bring to you, to say Jesus brings direction into your life. Most people, the Bible says, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. The book of Proverbs 29:18. Number four, we spoke about vision provides purpose. That vision gives you reason to get up in the morning. There are a lot of people, there isn't really anything that drives them. I usually say, when you are self-employed, you don't have much option. You have to work by yourself. When you are working for government or many other things, people, there's no drive in them to do anything extra. When it's 5 o'clock or whatever time, lunchtime, tea time, people can leave a long queue of people and leave, because to them, they are not driven. They have come to work, they have been paid. But most of my life, I worked for myself. I never got sick in my life. When I was working for myself, never. Go to hospital for what? Even when I had telltale signs of flu, I will never go. Because I knew I'm the one who's going to write the check at the end of the month. I knew so much depended on me. So I became passionate, emotionally attached. Purpose drove me. I will be working while my nose is dripping. I've been in many occasions here on the altar preaching, yet my body aching and very painful. And I will continue. I remember one day I preached. When I finished preaching, I said to one of our doctors in the church, you know, this is how I feel. And the doctor told me, you are taking chances. And he says, I'm going to prescribe for you. So after I finished praying for other people, I was sick myself. But purpose drove me. I couldn't say, because now I wake up sick, somebody preach. It will be like I'm dropping the ball. So I said, I'll take the heat of it, because purpose drives and gives you the way to go. So my take with you is that make up your mind to have a vision. And we have a very powerful, clear vision in the church. If you are willing and obedient, you will be one of the greatest in time. Number five, we said vision brings clarity and focus. Our vision is very clear and it will focus you. We know for a fact that there are many of us who are not willing, who are not intending, because we still believe we are strong. We were talking this morning with Pastor Kay, and she gave me a prescription about one of our leaders who was talking how in the years past was given a chance to lead, to guide churches, and he said no. And today he's old. And now he's trying to work harder. And so he's telling his frustration to say, I wish I understood the bigger picture. You see, what you do today might look like a bigger picture. To be an engineer is a great work. To be a medical doctor is a great work. To be a scientist is a great work. But it's a small, tiny part of why God created you. And so you need to see the bigger picture and understand that if God sent Jesus as an answer and a solution to a dying world, you must have been born again for such a time as this, so that you will give purpose and direction in the lives of others. May vision catch you up in the name of Jesus. And lastly, last week we spoke about vision and visualization ends barrenness and unfruitfulness. Some of us have been sustained and kept by the little vision we saw as young boys coming to this city, trying to do a little bit that we did not know, that this is a bigger part, is a small piece of a bigger part. And every day it unfolds, we are amazed at the faithfulness of God. And lastly, we said vision is the instrument of divine communication and visitation and guidance. Vision is an instrument of divine communication, visitation, and guidance. Now, let's move into today's stuff. I'm going to become personal. You might feel I'm talking about you. So take it, I'm talking about you. Don't be offended. Change. Tell your neighbor, don't be offended. Change. Yes. Don't be angry. Tell your neighbor, don't be angry. Change. Yeah. Change is the only constant thing. You like it or not, you grew last night. You never had the gray hair, but as we are talking, there is a gray hair coming. You can dye it as much as you want. But My dad was dying until almost 70 years. He was dying. You wouldn't even see gray hair. Because he had Inecto. You remember Inecto dye? Yeah, he had Inecto and he will always use it. And I will say, oh, says I don't want gray hair on my head. And he will always be laughing when he's doing his hair, you know. So I never use Inecto as much. So I think I need to copy because we are shaving almost every morning to avoid what he was avoiding. So you can't see. May the Lord have mercy on us. Now today we are focusing on requirements for compelling vision. What are the requirements for a compelling vision? These teachings will take you far and beyond. This teaching will take you far and beyond. If you believe, you will do great works. Hallelujah. Jesus said, even greater works than this, you will do. Hallelujah. Amen. Even greater works than this, you will do. Hallelujah. May the same grace come upon your life in the name of Jesus. May you be passionate about the work of God. May you be emotionally attached to the work of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Vision, we are talking about the requirement for compelling vision. Vision is the mental picture of what could be our preferred future. So we look into the vision. It gives us what is the preferred future. What is it that we desire? I was talking to one elderly minister in the kingdom. She runs a women's ministry. And she was saying to me, you always marry people in your church so many times a year and so forth. And my girls are not getting married. And I said to her, they are not ready to be married. You see, because the Bible says, he who finds what? A wife. It doesn't say who finds a girl. No. It doesn't say he who finds what? A woman. It doesn't say that. So some people become so self-concerted that they are not seen. So she was asking, what can we do? I told her, I said, your girls will not marry. And fortunately, it was just before lunch. I said, wait, I'll show you. And then lunchtime came. They were preparing food and all of that. I said, look at your girls. They will never serve anyone. I said, which man will want to marry a woman and you have to serve them? I don't know. You can come with your women's lip or whatever. If you are going to get married, you must be able to do certain things that a modern woman doesn't want to do. You must shave your nails slightly less. You can still paint them, but they must not be too long. Yeah. Because there are things to do. Am I talking to somebody? Am I talking to somebody? So I said, they cannot see the future. Because if they see the future, every man in the church, they'll be saving. You know how I got married? Somebody referred me to my wife. That's how I got married. Yeah. Somebody said, you know what? Look this way. And I looked, and I liked what I saw. And I said, I will see if this thing can work. The rest is history. Falling in love is a magic thing. But other people help us to fall in love. They will make you look this way. And the thing that you never saw has always been in your presence. Sisters in the church, they will say to you, there are no brothers. I say, you are blind. I said, the problem is that your scale is a wrong scale. Your measurement is a wrong measure. You can't see the end. I say, if you saw some of us when we got married, the people that looked down on us, they regret it today. Because we were passionate. We didn't have material things that can show, but we had the mindset to make the difference. Am I talking to somebody? So you must. So I said to this minister, I said, you need to be conscious. And when I started serving, I said, look at them. They were the one directing, even talking too much. I said, you see, this is a problem. Boys don't like girls like this. Let them fetch the food and serve the brothers. Let them come and say, what will you eat? What do you want me to serve you? I said, the boy feels good. It's honor, it's respect. He might not be the one to propose. He might not be the one to propose. But he might be the one to refer. Am I telling somebody? Tell your neighbor, you must see the preferred future. So that's what we are teaching today. We're going to talk about powerful things that you might feel offended, because you might feel they are too close to your skin. Everybody has a vision. Everybody can answer the question, what do you want your future to look like? Most people will tell you they want to be like Michael Jackson. Most people will tell you, I want to be like Motsepe, I want to own mines. Most people will tell you, I want to be like Bill Gates, write software and make money. And all the many other persons that they have in their life. What do you want your future to look like? All of us have an answer. God has gifted each and every one of us with imagination. And that's why last week, that's where we flowed. The week before, we're talking about visualization. Ability to see the invisible and to use the what you have seen to manifest. There are certain things when we do, people criticize, undermine. I always laugh when people leave and they criticize, and 5-6 years down the line, they are stuck. And they know the reference point. So I need to go back. And this is part and parcel of the difficulty of life. What you despise, this is why we teach people never despise. What you undermine will be the thing that sustains you. For now that you are full, I've heard people say, oh, I don't eat this. I say, it's because you have options. It's not like you don't eat this. It's an option. You are comfortable. But I can show people who were living a super life, who today are not living a super life. You don't have an option to choose. This is why they say beggars are no choosers. So you better live like a beggar even though you are great. Accept the ways of God and God will prosper you. Hallelujah. So you have to understand vision is fueled by passion. I've got quite a number of points, about 5 points and 3 sub-points. So literally about 7 points that we're going to talk about in the next coming 25 minutes. May the Lord bless you. Number one, vision thrive in an environment of unity. Vision thrives, succeeds, prospers in an environment of unity, and vision die in an environment of division. Most families are divided. That's why they are not progressing. Yeah. I was talking to some young people, and so I was telling them, I said, when you get married, the first few years, your main focus is unity, possibly honeymoon and all of that. You'll be very nice. A lot of sexual activity. You feel very great. And as the years go by, you'll no longer have sex as much. Sex once a week. And I say, that's not bad, but it's bad. But it's not bad, but it's bad. But not bad. And then it becomes worse once a month. Now you know there are chronic problems that are brewing and coming. And before you know it, it's like 3 months. And then once a year or twice a year, it's a verge of divorce. There are people married here. Ask them. These ones are newly married. You're asking a wrong group. Ask the old ones. Ask those who are 10 years, 5 years married. We usually say, Bishop Doug puts it this way. He says, after the woman have got children, she abandons the husband. Because naturally, women want children. And after they have children, they used you. You as a husband, you didn't know. They just used you. And then they abandon. For now, they love you because they want the seed. If the seed is there, they are done. Vision demands. Vision thrives in an environment of unity. As a church, as we move forward, we need to understand this part, that you need to be one with us. And we're going to talk about what are the signs of being one with us or being against us. You can still be in our company. Judas was part of the team of Jesus, but he was not with Jesus. His heart, he was always scheming, how can I undercut? How can I work against? How can I get my way? Am I talking to somebody? There were people who were coming consistently, but their heart has already withdrawn. Judas, maybe in the beginning, believed in Jesus, and as the years went by, Judas abandoned. And who knows? Maybe that's what is in your heart. We are talking loyalty and disloyalty to a great extent. The book of Mark, chapter 3:25. It says, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Hallelujah. So you have to understand, if we are talking about Jesus is our anchor and our cornerstone. If we are not united, we will not stand. So, as an individual, you have to understand that vision thrives in an environment of unity. In your house, as a husband, it's not for you to get your way. It's for you to look at it. How can I enable my family to move forward? How can I enable my children to move forward? How can I enable the team to flourish so that everybody can find their place? Not that everybody should do their thing. In some families, everybody's doing their thing. The wife has her own salary. The man has his own salary. Everybody's doing their money the way. Pay for the house, I'll pay for this, I'll pay for that. The rest, keep yours, I'll keep mine. Nice. It's not surprising. You have already sowed the seeds of division into your relationship. So Jesus is our anchor and our cornerstone. If we don't build on the unity of the Godhead, the unity of Christ, we are not going to fulfill the mission. As a church, as we enter into this season, where we are going to change so much of our church, that when you come next time, you might be shocked that it's not the same church that you thought it is. Am I talking to somebody? May the Lord have mercy with us. Hallelujah. Number two, you must own the vision. You must own the vision. John 10, verse 30. Jesus is speaking here. He says, I and my Father are one. No, we're talking unity. We're talking personal self-identification to where Christ was standing. He says, make the vision your own. Failure is as the result of not owning the vision. Most people are failing in life because they don't own the vision. I've seen people work for a company but hate everything about their work. So you have not owned, you are not one with. You have not owned, you are not one with. May the Lord have mercy on us. I said, may Jesus have mercy on us. Yeah. So you have to understand, to own the vision, you have to align yourself. You have to. Alignment doesn't happen automatically. You have to make the decision as of today. This is what I'm going to do. You have to align. You have to put yourself on the course. You see, when we talk about alignment, if we talk about cars, cars have to be aligned. Now and then, after you have driven for some time, we go to the village, the roads are not good. When you come back, you take your car to be aligned. Why? So that you get maximum output out of your car. Even in the church, it's the same way. You have to be aligned. You have to make the decision, I have a pastor, I have a shepherd, I'm a member in the cell, I'm going to queue the line. I'm going to queue, I'm going to follow. I don't feel like it, but I know it is right. It's something I'm going to do. In the weeks past, we said most people fail in life because they can't stay in one church. They can't stay in one church. You ask those who are divorced. They divorce the first wife or the first husband. They divorce the second one, the third one. From there, it's just disaster. In terms of statistics, they show the first time you marry, there is 50-50 chance. When you divorce the first time, you drop to 25%. In other words, the next marriage have a 25% chance to succeed. So don't be happy when you are being married by a divorcee. I say, oh, I got him today. Because there is a chance, only 25%. It's not me. Don't be offended. It's statistics. It's people who go around, interview, and observe. Is that fine? And they said the third time, the chances, if he marries three times, he has divorced the first one, the second time. The third time, the success of the marriage is zero. It's very rare that after three different marriages, I can give you an example. I know people in my lifetime who have done that. They've been with the first, second, third, and even now we know he's married. I think he's the fifth wife. And we know it's not going to last. He just won the honeymoon part. I was even at some stage saying to my wife, why does he need to marry? Please, just jolla, just. Yeah, just jolla. sleep around, because that's what you want, isn't it? Now you sugarcoat it. I'm married. No, you are not married. You have not learned to own, to suffer, to take the pain. Because don't forget, when you come to church, you are not going to do what you like. If you are really serious, you want to be a member of our church, we are going to tell you, this is what we are doing. Come this line. Queue here. This year, we are going to be saying to you, from now on, this is the church you attend. You can't interchange churches. You can't come for this service and go to that service. That thing is dying. Come March, it's dead. Yeah. We are going full force G12 church. Yeah. So, I'm just saying it. So, you have to align yourself. Your car has to be taken. Leadership is modeling the way and living the vision. In other words, you can't say you are a leader in the church and you don't model the way. Doctor, you can't say, no, hey, I'm the leader, and you are not modeling the way. When you say, let's come in the morning, you don't come. You sit in your house. Now that you are married, you are eating muesli and yogurt. Eh? You have to model. If you are a husband, you have to model. You are the main vision bearer. You have to model commitment. Yes. You have to model in the church. You can't tell me you are a shepherd and you don't model commitment. There's something wrong. You can't say you are a member and you don't model commitment. You have to model it. Everybody must see it. I always tell people, I say, when the church, when we started, I was the first one. I was the key holder. I'll come an hour before. And I'll leave the church. Even now, I still come early. Most of you, when I leave, you are not here. You are possibly eating your third lunch. I leave the church on my normal Sunday. I leave 4 or 5 o'clock. While the church has come out by 1, I'm still here. When you pass here, you'll find my car. Sometimes I'm the only car. Sister Jane is trying, but it's like some days she remember and some days she forgets. Others, they'll say, we can't wait. We usually say, if I'm your leader, you can't leave before I leave. Sister P, you'll be drinking second tea. They call it high tea, ladies tea, 3 o'clock. Yeah. So you have to understand, leadership is modeling. Jesus, when God was sending somebody, Jesus came by himself. He modeled sacrifice. He modeled selflessness. That is vision. That is power. You cannot be a shepherd who remembers his member 5 minutes before the home church, before the cell starts. It's then that you remember, oh, I've got members. You are sending WhatsApp. Where are you? They will not be coming because they know you don't care. Yes, they will not be coming. You are not modeling it. You are not showing the way. So alignment is very important. You have to align yourself. You don't agree. You don't have to agree. A good example is the recent ANC elections. There's only one boss in the ANC. One. President Zuma is a, what is the right word? A proxy of Ramaphosa. It doesn't matter how big the office of the president is. He knows he's not the man. Because he's been told, somebody's going to tell him, Tlalapans, he's going to sit down. Stand up. You stand up. If you don't do it, you have had your chance. It's somebody's chance. I'm going to tell somebody. Don't forget, we say those who can hear can speak. It's a natural principle. You want leadership, you must have ears to hear. Yes. Somebody says, no, I've been in church for too long, and you are this vision thing is sidelining us. I say, it's very simple. Go to cell. Yes. Show willingness. But it doesn't matter if you go to sell, the cell will not succeed because you have already criticized, downsized. You are so critical that this thing is going to fail. So how will it succeed if you are already criticizing it? We say, oh, let's come and win souls. You are never there. You can't model it to your members. You can't model it to your cell members. You can't model in your family the reason why there are fights. You can't model quietness. You can't just be quiet even though you are right. Just to say, my darling, it's fine. You can't model it. So you are not going to reap the fruits you are expecting. Is that fine? So you have to align yourself. Lack of alignment leads to disorder and confusion. That will not allow this year in Emmanuel Christian Church. There are many other churches. I've had very rich people in my church, and I still have. God has blessed me. Some of our rich people, they'll give you so much money and want to comment. And I tell them, you have to go to sell. You have to go to sell. If you are really, you love me, if you honor me, if you respect me, go to that small boy's cell. Sit down. Learn. Grow there. But if you despise the young boy, you are despising me. And I know already, because whatever you say in private goes around, comes back. They tell me you're already criticizing. You are a leader in the church. You are already criticizing the cell. You are saying we will not do the cell. The cell is the basic unit of life. It's what builds, and it's, you are a multitude of cells. You. Small, small, tiny cells that are giving life. I'm going to tell somebody. Yeah. This is why I say in my house, you can't stay in my house and not come to church. It's not possible. I'm the head. You better leave. You can't stay in my house. No. It can't happen. Doesn't matter who. My father comes to my house, comes to church. My grandmother comes to my house, comes to church. Every person they know. My father taught me the principle. He says, when he came, my father, before he got born again, he used to be a serious smoker. He will never even smoke in my yard. He will smoke outside. He'll say, hey, my son, I don't want to spoil you. I know you are a pastor. I'll smoke outside, not in the yard. You know, I'll say, no, you can smoke in the yard. He says, no. He'll open the gate and be under the tree. I've got the tree opposite my yard. He'll be there. I say, that's when leadership has come. Model it. Yes. Model leadership. Can you tell your neighbor model leadership? Yes. Vision is about progress and change. It enables to work as a team. Vision enables all to sacrifice. So if you can't model it, you can't sacrifice, you can't make time for it, you're going to be left behind. Don't say we didn't tell you. Jesus owned the vision. We expect you to own the vision. Jesus was sent by the Father. We ask of you, when we ask of you, be a shepherd. Lead this group of people. We are saying to you, take ownership, be a sacrifice, die. Use your own resources to make these things to succeed. Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross. We expect you to sacrifice your life. Some of you are still struggling with tithing. You are tithing, you stop tithing. That's wickedness. Tell your neighbor, it's wickedness. Yes, it's wickedness. Even government. Government, the way it doesn't trust people. They take the money before. They threaten the employer. They threaten the employer. Every person you employ, you must deduct the tax, because they are crooked. These people, they will not pay. But we believe we can cheat God. Yeah, I can show you people with big houses that they've lost. I can show you, maybe I should get my billionaires in the UK who are poor today and show you this. These are billionaires. They used to be who's who in the zoo. Yeah. When the president become president, these are the few people who are going to have dinner and supper with the president. Your hands will be shaken. Today, they are nobodies. Because God was never the central focus of their life. May the Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope yazwakala, isn't it? Amen. Number three, we are talking about the requirements for compelling vision. Unless you own it, you have to convince me you are one with me. How do you become one with me? By doing what I do. You see, membership in the days past is just coming to church, warm the chair. Not in the new church. Not in the new church. The Bible says, know the state of your flock. I should be able to say to him, Sizi, are you tithing? And you should not get offended. And I should tell you, you are not tithing. What's wrong? You have made your own family issues important. You have elevated yourself to the status of God. So we should suffer because of you. Somebody says, oh, pastors eat church money. Whose money are you eating? Are you not waiting for government? Are you not eating our money? Huh? Every person is being paid for the work they do. The Bible says, do not muzzle the ox that tread upon corn. Some of you have forgotten where you come from. You were picked. You were nobody. Yeah, you forget. Solomon says, what is new has always been there. Yeah. What is new? Tell your neighbor, what is new has always been there. Yeah. If you check ancient technologies, you'll be shocked the things that ancients have done. And today, that skill is lost. They are trying to recover it. Powerful, powerful skills. I mean, I get shocked when every time I watch these things and I say to myself, wisdom has always been there, but fools always lose it. Yeah. Fools always lose it. Africa has been a center of education for generations. People have been coming to Africa to learn. But you can't see the evidence. There are telltale signs that our ancestors were wiser, were premiers in many things. But today, we have lost the skill. And because we never spoke about it. Number three, we are talking about requirements for compelling vision. Number three, moral authority is what makes people to follow. You must, if you are going to be a great, powerful person, Jesus had moral authority. He came by himself and allowed himself to grow for others to look at him. That's why he was always taunted with questions. Who are you? Who's your father? And that's why they always went back to the degrading elements, which is traditionally what will happen. Moral authority is what makes people to follow. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Can you tell your neighbor, you must be found faithful. Tell your neighbor, don't be angry, change. Don't be sad, change. Every leader must keep their moral authority. You must have moral authority. How do you develop moral authority? By being consistent. The Bible talks about being the same yesterday, today, and forever. You must not be like Cape Town weather, if ever you know Cape Town. Cape Town in a day can change into four seasons. You don't know. They say there are people who are moody. When they are happy, they want everybody to be happy. And in a moment they are angry, then everybody else must follow their moods. Can you imagine if your husband is a moody guy and you are the wife? You will suffer. Because the day is happy, everybody is happy. I remember the Orlando Pirate people who get beaten now and then. The husband will be terrorizing the whole family. He say, you are not even a shareholder in the Orlando Pirates for you to be so annoyed and angry that your club has been beaten. Make peace with it. Amen. You must lead through your character. Can you tell your neighbor? You must lead through your character. Yes. This is important. You have to lead through your character. You have to lead through your character. When we talk about moral authority, it's using your character, not position. Don't use your position. Use your character. I stand not only because of my position, but I want to believe over the years, I've paid my price. I've paid my price. I've served in more than one church as a church leader. I've been a minister of the gospel before I even became the senior pastor of this church. I've labored. I have stood the test of time. There are things I've done. Somebody was asking, why have you succeeded? I said, go back to where I come from and investigate. I'm not a divisive person. I've been building my fruit. Wherever I've left, my fruit is still there. Still growing and maturing. May the Lord have mercy. Amen. Tell your neighbor, use your character, not your position. Yeah, don't come, oh, I'm apostle. No. Use your character. What is it that you have done that proves that you have matured? You have grown. You are following the dictates. Some people, the older they become, I was talking to one of our people in the church, husband and wife, and I said, the more older you become, the more unstable you are becoming. I said, you are confusing your children. Your children don't know where to stand because of your behavior, how you carry yourself. This is important. Your position, don't use your title. Don't say, I'm the father, I'm the husband. No. Character. Tell your neighbor, character. Yeah, it's critical to move forward. As we move forward as a church, we look at those things. Moral authority. Do you have moral authority? Can people follow you? Is there somebody following you? Are you consistent? May the Lord have mercy. Number four. For the vision to come to pass, you need three things. One, character. Number two, sacrifice. Number three, time. Character. That's number four. We said number four, you need three things, which is character, sacrifice, and time. Then I'm starting with character. Character, the will to do what is right as God defines it. The will, we say character is the will to do what is right as God defines it. Not according to your feeling. I'm willing to do what is right even when I do not like the thing. I'm willing to do what is right when I do not will to do it. I do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. You have to make the decision. It's something I wouldn't do it if it was me, but because the Lord has said it, I will do it. Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you lose, listen to this. This statement is important. If you lose your money, you have lost. If you lose your family, if you lose your money, you have lost. If you lose your family, you have lost a lot. But if you lose your character, you have lost everything. One of our greatest evangelists made that profound statement. If you lose your character, you have lost everything. How do you lose your character? By being inconsistent. Telling the children, I'll do this, and you never do it. Saying to people, I'm coming, and you never show up. Saying to people, this is what I will give, and you never give it. First time, we say you forgot. Second time, we know it's your character. This is the habit that you have developed in your life. You lie consistently. So character, it's something critical. We always say to the parents, don't say to the child, when I come, I'll buy you a beggar. And you know you are not committed to buying the beggar. So you lose your character. The children know this one has no moral authority. He's a liar. Am I telling somebody? Number two, sacrifice. Sacrifice gives you moral authority, your willingness to give consistently more than all. This is the key for sacrifice. Willing to give more than all. In other words, you are willing to give even your own life. You can't be the husband and not be willing to give all that you have. Can your wife drive your car if you are the husband with a car? Can your wife have your credit card or your bank card with the PIN code? Or already you have already made up your mind. I know most of us are not married here, are young, so it doesn't make sense. Get married quick. Yeah, then you know where people stand. We are talking about sacrifice. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The vision is by its very nature sacrifice. If you can't pay the tithe, you are not serious. You are not here. You don't have moral authority. If you can't come to church, we are praying and fasting. You can't fast. You can't make the time to come. You are not serious. Who's going to follow you? Huh? Who's going to follow you? May the Lord have mercy. You have to sacrifice everything. You have to sacrifice. Vision, by its very nature, is sacrifice. All those who desire to lead must be willing to sacrifice. Sacrifice your time, your life. Those who are in the vision, they know it demands sacrifice. And part of the sacrifice, we are talking about the church in this regard. We expect you to pay your tithe consistently. Not as and when you have a bonus. Not as and when you are about to get married. When people are not paying the tithe and they suddenly pay, I always ask the question, are they getting married? When people who have been in the church for years, they don't commit, and suddenly they want to be singing, specifically public ministry, we get concerned. Because we know they are giving us Think about it. We have to live here to go to Venda or to Eastern Cape to marry you. How much money do we spend? Where do we get the money? Let's just talk about it. Where does the church get the money? Huh? The buildings we are building in Midrand and Atridgefield, where will the money come from? Lady Deacon P. In heaven. It's not allowed. God cannot bring money that doesn't exist. It will be illegal. It will be forgery. Is that fine? Is that fine? Yes. So, the level of sacrifice as well takes on tithing. You have to serious. If the vision is going to come to pass, there must be a sacrifice. You can't expect. We were talking the other time as they were holding the mic and singing and they drop it. And I say, do you know how much sacrifice it has taken to buy the mic? Sister Bongi. And at some stage, even the elders were so annoyed. We bought our first cordless mic. And somebody dropped it. It dropped the head. We took it back to be fixed. And they said, no, where it broke, you can't fix it. You must just buy it. I'm not going to tell you how much the mic cost. I can remember the meeting I had with the elders. And one of the elders was there when the mic dropped. He says, yeah, if they must buy their own microphones so that they will hold it and know how much it costs. Yeah. Then after church, they can go home with it to say, this is mine, because they know how much it costs them. Matter to somebody. Tell your neighbor, you must sacrifice. We expect you in 2018 to say, we expect every member of our church to pay tithes. When you read the book of Malachi chapter 3, it says all the tithes. It doesn't say others should tithe and others should not tithe. Your current struggle is because you are unfaithful. Your current struggle is because you don't love the Lord. You love your things. You were not born to pay bonds. A bond is a secondary thing to pay. I know it doesn't make sense to a fallen spirit. It doesn't make sense. You can't tell me your life is to buy a bond, to drive a car, and that's all your life is worth. Then that's too cheap. You are wasting God's oxygen. We should just pray. Can we lift up our hands? Let's pray for all those who don't want to suffer for the Lord. Lord, may you come and take them today. What do you say? Huh? They are wasting oxygen. We'll be breathing much more fresh oxygen without them. May the Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. Don't worry. God is merciful and kind. Those who are in the vision sacrifice. They sacrifice. They attend the church. They attend the cell. They are involved in the work of the ministry. People who stop participating have stopped to believe in the vision. If you do not believe in the cell group, then you are like Goliath. You remember Goliath? Yeah. Goliath believed in individualism. Yeah, he believed in himself. And when the war came, he went out and said, I'll represent the army. Bring somebody. He thought he was the biggest. It's the day he was destroyed. That's why most rich people go down, because they have the Goliath spirit. I will do it without you. You play games. You will do it without the church. Without God, you are more stronger, more powerful, you have more wisdom. I think I needed to read you the story of Steve Jobs before he died. I've got it. I think next service I'll just retrieve it. Next service I will play it. Story of Steve Jobs, what he said just before he died. He looked back into his life and he realized he has achieved so much, but he neglected something very important. And he envied, he desired to live more, because he thought, my things are set in place. And the end of life has come for him. It was o'clock. May the Lord have mercy. May the Lord have mercy. So my issue is, be humble, follow. Amen. You will be like Goliath, who went to fight alone and died alone. David chopped his head. When he came, David says, I come in the name of the Lord. David looked like an insignificant pastor with a small flock of sheep. His church was so small, he was even in the bush. nobody even remembered him. You know, some of us as pastors, when people flourish and do well, they curse us. But when they came here, even the first pair of shoes, the first panty, the first underwear, we bought it. The armpit was, I'm telling you, we have to teach you, this is a bar soap, this is roll on. I know today, this I say, don't take it personal. I'm not talking about you if I've done that to you. But I'm just saying, don't forget. Like others have forgotten. Is that fine? Is that fine? Yeah. We say this because we love you, eh? Yeah. Number three, time. I think my time as well is gone, so I'll stop there. Time. Moral authority is time. You cannot have moral authority. It's something that you build up. For all my children, the teen leaders and so forth, you have to build your moral authority. Time allows you to grow. You must allow time. I've been married for 28 and a half years now. So I have something to say about marriage. I don't know if you understand. People can write books, but I'm a book myself. Yeah, you can come. Somebody has just been married 2 years. He has written a book about marriage. Say, I can write a better book. Come to my house. Yeah. I will tell you what is it that have made marriage to work. It's not theory. It's living it, practicing it, being offended again and again and again, and having a reason to leave, but making the decision, I'm sticking with the scriptures. I'm staying. One man, his wife was having a boyfriend publicly, and there was a meeting, and they told the husband, divorce this thing. Divorce what? This thing. And the guys told them, when I married, I made a commitment, I'll die married. And it's true, he died married. And all of us, even today, don't understand. But today, all of us are saluting him. To say he understood the bigger picture. You see, most of us are driven by self-interest. We don't see the bigger picture. We'll sacrifice everything for our own comfort. May the Lord have mercy. We spoke about time. Moral authority takes time. Nothing can be achieved except with time. As we started here in the church, people looked down on us. Today, those who did it is to their own peril. Those who left the church and thought, oh, they will disappear in the sunset, they were playing games. I'm not telling somebody. Yeah, they are playing what? Games. They regret. Some people regret. Somebody said, during the Christian war in Jerusalem between Muslims and Christians, when they captured the Christian king, they asked him, you have been in the company of a great man. Why didn't you learn? You know, the Christian king conquered territory and made peace. And all the nations around in Jerusalem at the time, we're not talking long ago, 1100s, everybody was happy that there was peace. Not all nations want war. Even Muslims sometimes, they don't want war. They just want peace because war kills. If you are having war for 100 years, you can't develop anything. You can't do anything because men are always away. Men are butchered. People are killed. Neighborhoods are destabilized. Women are abused and so forth. And when he was captured, they asked him, were you not in the company of greatness? We are supposed to look up to you. Can you tell your neighbor, we're supposed to look up to you? Say it like you mean it. We are supposed to look up to you. Yes. They told this great king, they said, you have been in the company of greatness. He was the brother-in-law to the king. So when the king died, the sister became the queen. And so by default, he became the king. But he was a stupid king. The whole world has changed because of that war. The whole world today. If he didn't lose the war, this world will not be like it is. Maybe we might not even have had the First World War and the Second World War. Because the powers will have changed. But foolishness. Let's read together Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that one, the race is not to the swift. Those who think they will succeed in life because you have gone to school, you are playing games. You can succeed for 20 years and everything stops. I mean, you will not be the first one. Maybe say, I've got talent, I can sing and make money. Ask those who are great singers. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. The fact that you are up today, this every time when I read it, I laugh. It makes me to think about marriage. In marriage, it's very funny. People will say, when there are any more money, they don't want to share. They don't want their money to be mixed. Keep your money, I'll keep mine. And then the table turns. My story, when I married my wife, I was earning twice the salary of my wife. At the time, she was a graduate. Then she got a job in a private company. She earned twice my salary. Hey, what do you think about my composure, my person? That never changed me because from the beginning, I've already set the clock. All the money belongs to the family. It doesn't matter who brings what. So the tables were set. Nobody uses the money as they wish. So it pushed. We pushed for a number of years. And my wife continued earning more money, but you couldn't even see she was earning more money. Then something happened. I started my own business. I make so much money. Even today, she has never covered that money. I don't even understand. Her salary will go into the money I was bringing home, possibly 20 times. If she was here, she would say, amen. Now, what will have happened if suddenly when she gets... Because women have a tendency, if they earn more, they think they have something to say. And the poor husband... If you lose your job as a husband, you must really be praying seriously to God because your life is finished. You'll not be the first one. I know you don't like what I'm saying, but it's true. Amen? The Bible says, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. God has given us time. And I want to challenge you that even this time, God has given you time. In the morning, you woke up. Did you wake yourself up today? Oh, you say, oh, today I'll wake up. No. There is an angel that came and said, wake up. There are others who had a nice plan, possibly a preacher who thought, today I'll teach them what it is. And the angel, when it was trying to come down, the chief angel said, hey, we are redirecting you. What is the political term when they place somebody somewhere? We are redeploying you. Ha! This one doesn't wake up anymore. There is a new child born. We are assigning the new child. Go and take that one. This one, his work is done. You remember Herod? The Bible says he was standing and then the people were shouting, this is God but not man who's speaking. And the Bible says an angel came. I think it is his own angel. Stroke him, fell down. And they said immediately, to show that it was an act of God, worms. He decomposed immediately. Worms started to come out of him. Acts, go and read it. May the Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. God has woken you up. God expects a great return out of your life. God expects you to make a difference. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Tell your neighbor, don't be deceived. You are not your own man. Don't be deceived. Don't think you are almighty, the most powerful person. Today, God can come and say to you, can I have my share? Can I take my spirit, continue with your life? Let's see how far you will go. May the Lord have mercy. Moral authority is built over time. As a young person, you have to stand on time. You have to wait on time. What will destroy or crush you is your character. Without character, as we have already spoken about it, you are nothing. Moral authority takes time and is developed through proper resources over circumstances which you have no control. In other words, there are certain things that time will throw you into, and then it will prove yourself. You'll be far away from home. Opportunity will be given to you. to sleep around. They'll tell you, oh, there is a job. What do you think? You see, but there's another requirement. You have fulfilled all the other requirements. Your CV is right, your university is right, and all of this is right. But there is a bedroom requirement. What do you say? And somebody said, you know, women are bold. One woman said, it's just some few minutes, you know. Just what? Some few minutes. Time. It's just what? It's a few minutes. You will see in the few coming days that people who looked at time as something they can manipulate, time is coming back to demand the manipulation time. To say, let's prove to you that you can't do what you like in this life. Am I telling somebody? You have to make that decision. One member of our church came to me crying, a lady. She runs businesses, says, this man, says they must first sleep with me. I said, you are not going to sleep with them. You did well to come. You are not going to, you better close your business. It's the price you have to pay to be a Christian. You might have to sell your house, put your house on sale. I didn't pray, oh, God will make another way. No. I said, you must be prepared to go through this and know what you are dealing with. Because out of this, character is formed. And you won't believe what the woman did. She closed her business. Told the guy, you can sleep with all of them. Not this girl. Not me. Yeah. So it's not me. You are not going to have it. You can swallow as much. You are not going to have it. Hallelujah. Moral authority takes time and is developed through proper responses over circumstances which we have no control. Opportunity will be given to you to do wrong. But if you have character, you will say no. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. If I die, let me die. But I will not do it. Have your way, but not my way. I will not. Jesus said, not my will, but your will, O God. Hallelujah. Not my will, but your will, O God. So you have to understand. The book of Luke, Jesus was crying over Jerusalem. And Luke 19, 41 to 44, I will not read it because of time. The last part, verse 44, Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he cried over it and says, because you did not know the time of your visitation. You see, for now you are young, you think you have options. And that's why most of the time when you are guided, you refuse to take guidance. But I want to challenge you. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it abundant. God wants you to have the best. But to have the best, you can't just be doing what you like. Can we bow our heads together as we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today. We give you praise. We give you worship. For you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We pray today, Father, for the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray today, Father, for the grace to prosper and to be built up. I commit this day each and every man, woman, and child in this place that, Father, there is a requirement for compelling vision, that, Lord, we must be found faithful, that, Lord, we must be found consistent, that, Lord, we must be able to lay down our life, that, Lord, we must be willing to follow. I pray this morning in the name of Jesus, as Jesus laid down his life, is this my life? I've laid it down. Father, I pray even today that we'll lay down our life for you. I pray for each and every one of us in Jesus' name. While all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, maybe you are here, you have been coming to church, or maybe it's the first time you are visiting Emmanuel Christian Church. I want to pray together with you. Jesus said, my life I give, my life I lay down. Even today, you might want to do that. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. God wants all men to be saved. God sent Jesus that through him, men may be reconciled with him, that all of us can have fellowship and may be one with him. I want to pray together with you today that God has a good plan for your life, not to harm you, but to prosper you. If you are here today, you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are not even sure if your heart was to stop, if your life was to stop today, will you be able to make heaven? Will you be able to have fellowship with the Father? I want to pray together with you today. If you are here, you say, Pastor, I want to make right with God. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be a child of God. I want to align myself. I want to bring myself on course with God, that I may receive His blessing, that my life may be turned around. I want to pray together with you. So if you are here, you say, I want to receive Jesus. I want to be born again. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want God to be
forgiven. For my breakthrough, He is my end.